of television watching will lead, and I'm this has been medically confirmed, that passive watching of lots of television will lead to diminished neural development and brain growth in children. So definitely don't put a TV in your kid's room.
The thing about the TV and the kids, it's so hard because raising a kid is such a rough, all-encompassing 24 hours a day job. It's incredible. It just absorbs all your time, and if the TV can provide you with like 45 minutes or an hour and a half or whatever it is of actual peace and quiet, when the kid will just sit there and vegetate in front of Winnie the Pooh so you can read a book or catch your breath or do the dishes or sweep the floor or vacuum or whatever you have to do, the temptation is great to plop your young and your offspring, the fruit of your looms.
Fruit of your looms?
Fruit of your loins. I was just saying that to see if you'd catch it.
Oh, okay. You're just trying to see if I'm awake.
And, oh, yeah, did you flip the tape? Yeah, he just ran and did it. The desire's overwhelming to do that. But please, for the sake of your kids.
You don't want them to have diminished neural development, do you? They're your loins. These are your loins we're talking about.
Now, there have also been studies which show that if you play music, I think we've talked about this on the show before.
Mozart.
Particularly the music of Mozart. And you, for your kid, well, then his synapses will fuse together better. He'll have more synaptic activity, and the kid very well just might grow up to be a IQ point or two higher if you let him listen to Mozart. But I tell you what, if you shove him down in front of the TV when he's a youngin', I don't know, you're starting a kid off with some bad habits. You don't want him to get used to watching TV. You know, it's just like some kids want to be driven around at night before they'll go to sleep. And you don't want to get in that habit either. You don't want to get in that TV habit. These habits can be hard to break with your kids, so don't hook them on TV. Let's talk to Charlie. She's kind of wow. She's kind of now. She's Charlie.
Okay, well.
Oh, it's a guy. This is a totally different guy. I'm sorry I said that, Charlie. You're neither of the above. Go ahead, though.
That's okay. It falls with the theme you've been doing all night, you know, screwing things up. Just kidding.
Oh, man.
Hey.
What's happening on you, Chris?
Did I miss you on the Action Auction? You do it yet?
Yeah, we already did that.
That was Thursday night. Thursday night, Rob and I hosted the 11 o'clock hour of the Channel 48 Action Auction, and if you tuned in, you might have bought some really cool stuff.
Well, I used to like that when I was a kid, but I can't stand it anymore. I can't watch it.
Why not?
I don't watch the Home Shopping Channel. I mean, really, weren't we just going through all this TV? I mean, what could be? I mean, I love the cause, but come on. I mean, who can watch it? But anyway, wasn't it Chris? Didn't you do an interview with some folk singer when they were broadcasting 24 hours? You know,
a couple weeks ago, I talked to Pete Seeger, the legendary folk singer, Pete Seeger.
Well, I enjoyed that.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
And although it's, you know, I really missed the sidekick, it let me understand a little more about the Chris and Rob relationship. You know?
Now, what do you need to know about the Chris and Rob relationship?
Well, first of all, I can never tell you apart, except now that I've got it down now.
It's real easy. See, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We are your radio pals.
We are your radio pals.
See the difference?
See the difference?
But, yes, and it's a great relationship. And it just seeing Chris alone, even though he was good, if Rob got hit by a bus or something, Chris would not be in that much trouble. But
it's good to know.
It was.
I mean, everybody needs a crutch, and Rob is a damn good crutch.
God.
But
here we go.
I've analyzed the relationship.
Hey, Rob, will you kiss me? Rob, come here. We need a hug.
It's over with
Rob,
now.
Rob, give me a hug.
Chris, God, chill for just a minute. Freak.
All I need is a little love and affection, and you refuse to give it to me.
But I mean, your relationship is good. Like Siskel and Ebert, they suck.
You're not comparing Chris and Rob to Siskel and Ebert, or we're going to have to hang up on you.
Only in the antithesis or whatever. I mean, they think they're good for each other, but they're awful. And they go on talk shows and make total fools of themselves because they really don't get along.
They're a couple of idiots.
They really don't like each other, that's true.
And neither one of them have good taste in movies.
The fat guy likes anything that gives him a boner.
Well, I think the rating system is a little bit too, you know, it's either yes or no, you know, I mean, or, you know, enthusiastic.
There's got to be, you know, some variables in there, like, yes, if it's a matinee.
How old's the viewer? You know, yeah, it's good for kids or whatever.
Yes, if it's free, you know.
But I've seen a lot of movies lately, and it's tough it's a tough venue. I mean, I saw the English Patient, you know, ooh boy. I liked it, you know, you could tell they put a lot of work into
it. Did you go with a chick?
Yeah, it was a double date type of thing.
Yeah, that's the key to the English Patient is go with a chick, a double date is fine. Go out for cocktails afterwards so that you and the lady can discuss the inner ramifications of the
Chris,
movie.
Did you see the English Patient?
You better discuss them right then, because a week from then you won't remember anything about it. It's just...
Did you go see English Patient, Charlie?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the movies I've seen, I'm not your movie critic, and I don't want to step on his turf or anything.
All right, you know, you're just another PW guy from Clifton. We know. Go ahead.
I thought it was funny as hell when you had him on, and then you start giving him, like, don't you do anything else? He's like, I mean, he's like, well, what do you know? I mean, I'm coming here working, and now you're giving me...
Like, oh, you're talking about Scott from Have You Seen Any Good Movies Lately?
Yeah.
Can you tell his voice apart from Chris and mine?
Well,
see, Chris seems to have this whacked out notion that he has this super sophisticated, smooth delivery honed from years of Catholic school education and growing up in that continental.
I have a nasally voice and I sound like I haven't gone through puberty yet.
The cosmopolitan epicenter known as Forest Park, whereas I have this hillbilly redneck rogue attitude.
I'm Truman Capone and you're String Bean.
Well, honed we in Hamilton. Relationship before. You do compliment each other. Now,
well, I tell Robbie's doing a good job all the time.
During that interview with the folk singer or whatever.
It was probably edited as hell. Let me tell you something, Charlie. The interview was probably edited as hell, and Chris took out all the stupid questions he asked.
No, I think it was even live.
It wasn't live.
What was it? It didn't come off like that Story Musgrave, like you were talking from outer space, you know?
Sometimes tapes jam. That's the magic of magnetic tape.
But it was good, and you could tell the guy mixed, you know, his philosophy was hard to follow. He was a communist, but then he believed in other stuff, and, you know, and I think Rob would have, like, stepped on it, but Chris just let it slide. You know, like, we're not going to interrogate this guy. We just like his music. Everything's laid back, you know? And I don't know. I think, like, Chris is the idealist, and Rob brings him down to earth every once in a while. You know, you got to... take them out of
Well, somebody's got to have a dream, Charlie. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's got to think for the people. Somebody's got to have higher aspirations than just all this bullcrap that's going on all around us that we accept. All the mundane little things that we just accept as the status quo, when really there's a whole big bad world out there that's beautiful. And that's the reason you should turn off your television next week and spend a little time outside walking the dog or grill out your food on the porch this week instead of cooking it in the oven. You know what I'm saying?
I got the TV on now. I got the
radio. Turn it off.
If I had a computer, I'd be like online, and I got a balcony here. I gotta go on my balcony right now. I mean, I grill out. I mean, I do everything. So TV isn't my problem. I mean, sure, I watch.
Oh, you eat hamburgers and hot dogs, right, guy?
Yeah, I live pretty full.
Hey, Charlie. Charlie.
Huh?
Did you see Sleepless in Seattle?
Yeah, but that wasn't exactly my latest movie.
Thanks for your call, Charlie.
Okay, anytime.
Later on.
Later. All right. Do you like to drive? Do you have a flexible schedule?
See, I'm the idealist.
My God.
I'm the idealist, and you got to bring me down to earth. Right? Jeez.
If you like to drive and you have a flexible schedule, you might want to consider becoming a volunteer driver for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind. You know what I call that?
What?
Cab. Volunteer drivers provide transportation for staff members who are blind or visually impaired. You want to volunteer? Why don't you call 221-8558, 221-8558. And we're being stiff
Should we say, should we go ahead and say who's
we're being stiff. We're being stiff
we're
by stiff George Jefferson.
We're being stiff by George Jefferson. George Jefferson was supposed to call us at 1 o'clock. Where is he?
We are being stiffed.
So instead of talking about the Jeffersons, we're going to talk about... We'll see if that's him real quick.
Hold on. See if it's a Sherman Hemsley.
We'll see real quick. That's him.
Is it Sherman? Is Sherman Hemsley? No.
Okay.
Hold on. Who is it?
My other favorite television show.
Jeff. I want to talk to Jeff.
Who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans, that they may have been the architects of the Great Pyramids, or the lost civilizations of Lemuria, or Atlantis. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive far, far away amongst the stars.
The majestic battle star, Galactica, is on its way to a peace ceremony, ending a thousand-year war with the robot race of Cylons. Aboard the Battlestar Atlantia, the president offers a toast to the delegates representing the 12 colonies of mankind.
Noble delegates, I realize you're all anxious to get back to your ships before our rendezvous with the...
That was Lauren Green a second ago.
Terrific.
Pretty cool, huh?
No, not at all. You don't know my... Oh, we're going to talk to Jeff?
Hey, Jeff, did you know that that was Battlestar Galactica?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of that show? Was it a pretty corny ripoff of Star Wars and Star Trek?
It was a horrible ripoff of Star Wars and Flash Gordon, if you remember that. Or actually, Buck Rogers. Horrible ripoff.
Terrible.
Horrible.
So what's going on, Jeff?
Just got a question. You guys doing like a Disney remake of the 70s here or what?
No, we're not. We mean Disney. This is National Turn Off Your TV Week. It starts tomorrow, April 24th, and we're kicking it off right.
Yeah, but I mean, Jesus, man. I mean, Happy Days was an ABC show. ABC is owned by Disney. Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, but the Jeffersons were owned by CBS, and we tried to get Sherman Helmsley, and he stiffed us.
And he's not calling us. Sherman was supposed to call us at 1 o'clock sharp, and where is he?
And I don't know what network the Munsters was on.
Nickelodeon, as far as I know. Hell. Got a question.
What
was Donnie Moe's dad on the TV show? What was his job occupation?
Did he work down at the car factory?
Nope.
Let's see. Donnie Moe's dad... His dad
Do I get a prize if we get it?
Sure, if you want to.
Talking about Ralph Mouth's dad.
Who?
Ralph Mouth's dad was a plumber.
No.
Did he own his? No. I don't know.
He was an ophthalmologist.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Because remember when Richie came in to before he went into the army, he was getting his eyes examined. And Donnie came in with these fake eyes, with the eyes hanging down out of the glasses, with the springs on there. He goes, I'm here to check your eyes. I'm here to check your eyes. And he said, Ralph, that's not funny. Ralph, that's not funny at all. And then his dad came in doing the same damn thing.
Yeah, I remember that now.
I mean, it was very vague in my... I mean, I'm only 28. I'm very vague in my history there. Very vague. But
That sounds about right.
Yeah, he was an ophthalmologist.
Still got it.
Because after that, Anson Williams did the Bone Song. Remember that?
What's the Boom Song?
The Bone Song was the right leg is connected to the left leg.
Oh, I love the Bone Song. Yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
Everybody loves the Bone
that
Song.
That was a
knee
great
bone connected
song.
To the thigh bone.
Let me ask you something, there, Jeff. Have you ever seen a television program by the name of Sabado Gigante?
The what?
Sabado Gigante.
Oh, I saw Sabado Gigante all the time. It was my favorite.
Jim, have you ever seen it in your many travels to the Sunshine State? Sabado
Wasn't that starring Hong Kong Fooey?
Sabado Gigante is, of course, Big Saturday. And it's a show on one of the Spanish language TV stations that lasts like 5 hours. And it started off this time with this Spanish version of the Liars Club. Three of the hottest, tastiest tamales you've ever seen squashed into skin-tight fajitas.
Is that like the Price is Right?
It was a little bit different.
Diana Parkerson?
Three just absolutely gorgeous Mexican, Latin American soap opera star were holding up different items and saying what they said the item was used for. Then these three dorky guys were trying to guess.
Gloria Estefan was on that.
No.
She was. I bet
well,
you
maybe she was.
Was.
And the three guys were trying to guess which one of the super babes was telling the truth. And then from there, the show somehow With, kept the same host and the same audience and the same set, it turned into some sort of heart-wrenching talk show about this former celebrity who was in an auto accident and is now paralyzed, and they brought her out in a wheelchair and had a heart-to-heart discussion.
Estefan.
No, it wasn't Gloria Estefan, you moron. I'm telling you, I know Gloria Estefan is!
It was Gloria Estefan before she sent all the letters to her fans.
It wasn't Gloria Estefan, you dork. When I tell you something, it's not Gloria Estefan.
You just hung up on a caller, Robbie.
Jesus Christ, he was a moron.
He was not. He was a
nice guy.
Yeah,
he was. I know who Gloria Estefan is. It wasn't Gloria Estefan. I have the show every Saturday.
Well, the guy's allowed to be wrong if for once. Was Eric Estrada in the show?
No, he wasn't in the show.
But if I said that
it's
he was, and I was wrong.
It's just you stupid white-bread jerk-off Midwestern hillbillies naming the only Latin actors and entertainers you know.
What, Gloria?
Hey, it was Placido Domingo in that. Was Selena in that one? Hey man, was that Freddie Prinze? You know he's dead.
You gotta clutch onto what you can.
Was that Chano from Barney Miller in that? I bet he was, cause you know he's like a Mexican dude. Chano from Barney Miller.
What about the guy that played Chico and Chico and the Man?
He's dead.
But before, maybe back in the days before.
Now I'll never get to tell you about Sabado Gigante, and it'll just be your loss. Your life will be so much emptier for not knowing about Sabado Gigante.
I used to like the
old phones a lot better because I could just hang up on people a lot quicker. I didn't have to push 9 buttons. But these new phones, they sound terrific. Everything works great, but it's just harder to hang up on people, which is probably a good thing. But now the phone's ringing.
Well, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris and he's Rob, and he's hanging up on people. You know,
I'm not hanging up on anybody.
Sleeping with the television on is something everybody does, especially your dad, right? Mmm, yummy. yummy drink.
I'm trying to Bally Blast from Snapple Island cocktails. And, it's there.
Listen, Sherman Hemsley stood us up, so screw him, man. I never liked the Jeffersons anyway. It was a stupid show. I'm Chris.
Good night, Mom!
Sherman was supposed to call us tonight, and he didn't. And then we get some calls from some nice people, and Rob hangs up
on. Hey, remember when the old English guy would come by and... and he'd do that to have George walk on his back? Hey, you know who's mother? Who's Lenny Kravitz's mom?
Lenny Kravitz's mom was on the Jeffersons.
Yeah, she was Roxy Roker. Mm-hmm. She was the woman that lived downstairs with the white guy, and he'd make fun of him all the time. That's Sherman Hemsley. That Amen. Did you ever see that Amen show?
No, I never did, but Sherman played a priest, didn't he?
That was terrible. It was great. If Sherman calls. You know, it's great. If he doesn't call, it sucked.
Right on.
By the way, we came within like two cat's whiskers of getting Frank Gorshin to be on the show a minute ago. There are going to be like 900 guys on the show, the B-Boys Underground. Tonight it's just not the B-Boys, it's like the K-Boys. There's going to be 1,000 of them doing the B-Boys Underground tonight. It's going to be a big show tonight. Should be good. So you want to stick around for that here at WAIF.
Next thing you know, they'll be bringing a kegger in.
Come with the Sound Assassins of a Funk on a Funk Dub mix, guaranteed to make you trip. On Fridays from midnight till 2 a.m., Sound Power Double Rama gunning for you on 88.3 FM. WAF Double Rama, catch it Fridays midnight until 2 a.m. It's National Turn Off Your TV Week, and that's what we're talking about, turning off your TV. And reading books or going to the park with your friends or just hanging out. Hopefully the weather will be nice this upcoming week. You can go out and, go out and suck in some pollution. You don't have to sit in front of the TV all the time.
You can always play ball with the kids.
You know, they're having it on National Turn Off Your TV Week start on Thursday, which is, of course, must-see TV night.
Is that apropos or what? You know, I can't stand that must-see TV night. That Jerry Seinfeld does nothing for me. How about you?
Well, I'm sure it goes over your head.
Let's give Jerry a call. What do you say?
Yeah, sure. Why don't we? Let's pretend this is live when it's really been on tape for like 2 years.
Now it's time to join Chris and Rob in the wacky world of telephone harassment for celebrity answering machines, where Chris and Rob call one of your favorite celebrities, and if no one is home, they leave a message on today's celebrity answering machine. So sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and pop open a cold one as we join Chris and Rob for celebrity answering machines.
See what we can get.
I'm going to try to call Jerry Seinfeld. Maybe you've seen his show on NBC.
I've seen his commercials, his credit card commercials.
Are they any good?
No, they're terrible.
Are they funny?
No. I never liked his stand-up either, but I like his TV show.
What's wrong with his stand-up? His TV show is based on a stand-up.
No, his TV show is funny. His stand-up was just annoying. Did you ever notice why, socks came in twos? Why is that? Socks.
All right, nobody's home. Let's call his other number in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
What do you say?
Yes, let's. Go down to the crawdad hole to catch a miss of crawfish.
Now we're calling Jerry Seinfeld's phone number in Los Angeles. Hello, is Jerry Seinfeld there?
Jerry Seinfeld is not here anymore.
He's not? Well, where did he go?
Hey, when? I don't know. He has better things to do in life.
I guess he does. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're radio personalities from the Midwest, and we were trying to locate Jerry Seinfeld.
I know. Everybody's calling me. He just used to have this number before, but now he's not here anymore.
Well, who are you?
I'm Tony.
Hey, Tony, you got your own TV show?
I got my own TV show, no.
If you did have your own TV show, what would it be called?
I know. Oh, we go Tony Baloney.
Tony Baloney, and who would be in it?
Who'll be in it? Macaroni.
You're Caroni? What do you do for a living, Tony?
I do real estate development. Am I on the air now?
No, you're not on the air. We wouldn't put you on the air.
We might be taping this, and we might put it on the air at a later date. Would that be all right with you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, what kind of real estate deals? Like,
I do real estate development. You know, I buy those apartment buildings, and then I turn them to a condo.
Oh, that's what you're doing, a bad deal.
So whatever happened to Jerry Seinfeld, anyway?
Jerry Seinfeld? I don't know. He's around. Funny enough, you know, I told the guy that called before. Actually, my next door neighbor is she's a writer on his show. So
really,
be able to get, you know, get.
So did Jerry leave the apartment?
No, Jerry didn't leave the apartment. Jerry just the telephone number, and everybody's calling me. Is Jerry here?
Well, so when Jerry was your roommate, was he a neat roommate?
It wasn't my roommate.
So when you and Jerry lived together, did he leave his stuff all over the bathroom?
Yeah, me, Jerry, and Shoshana, you know, we used to do the clean.
So what does Jerry do now? What is the deal with Jerry? He's like 50 and he's got a 12-year-old girlfriend.
I know.
Is that legal in America?
That's what I said. Well, when you get the money, well, you know, they don't care.
He's like 41. He's in his 40s, I think. And you know, he saw his girlfriend for the first time. You know what she was wearing? A Catholic schoolgirl's outfit.
Uh-oh.
The plaid skirt and everything.
I'm a sucker for that every time.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Can't blame Jerry one bit.
Lunchbox, probably. Huh?
Yeah, probably like
it. Hey, I know actually the other guy also that went out with her for a while. It wasn't another guy from Jerry Daly. They had actually a show on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she went out with another guy for a while. She left Jerry Seinfeld, and then she went back to him.
Well, Jerry's got all the money.
You got some gossip here.
Yeah.
Well,
will you tell Jerry that we called?
I'll tell Jerry you called. I'll tell my neighbor that you guys keep looking for Jerry.
Yeah, will you tell your neighbor to tell Jerry that we called?
Okay.
I said, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Got it, guys.
Hey, so did Jerry really eat a lot of cereal when you lived with him?
Yeah, he liked a lot of cereal.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
Bye, Tony.
All right.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Celebrity Answering Machines. And make sure you tune in next time when Chris and Rob call another one of your favorite celebrities right here on the Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machines.
Thanks, Andy. You know, Jerry Seinfeld is going to star as himself in 2 back-to-back episodes of News Radio coming up. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. How interesting.
May 7th and the following week, Phil Hartman and Maura Tierney, is that their name? They plan to create a new and exciting interview show for the station, and then they slate Jerry Seinfeld to show up.
Wow, this is like the WGRR morning show all of a sudden.
They're also going to have Joe Rogan, Bobby Brown, Dave Foley, Stephen Root, Andy Dick, Vicki Lewis, and Randy Alexander.
Is that Bobby Brown, Mr. Whitney Houston?
Must be. I don't know. It says here, other surprise guests on News Radio will include all these people I've never heard of.
Get excited.
Joe Rogan, Bobby Brown, Dave Foley, Stephen Root, Andy Dick, Vicki Lewis, and Randy Alexander.
Those are the regulars on the show.
Guess what it's time for now, Rob? Guess what it's time for?
It's time for our very special guest interview.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Hello, Mr. Sherman Hemsley. Are you there? Hello?
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 Hi, how you doing?
Oh, fabulous. How you doing, sir?
Great, buddy.
What's going on? Where are you calling us from tonight?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh, my gosh. How's things in Los Angeles?
It's pretty windy and hot, real hot. 94 is about 80-something now. Just a lot of wind blowing, that's all.
So do you know OJ?
Do I know OJ? No.
I didn't think so. Well, listen, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together
Hi, Chris
we...
Rob, what's happening?
We're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Yeah, all right. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Now, you got a brand new show on UPN, right?
Right.
It's called Good Behavior?
Good Behavior.
What's that show all about? Fill us in.
Oh, well, it's been out this whole season. I play an ex-con that gets out, accused of white-collar crime, and gets out of prison, moves in with his son, you know, and he starts his own chili business.
I bet that's
as far as we've gotten so far.
Do you know anything about chili?
Yeah, I'm supposed to learn to make the chili in jail.
Oh, okay.
You know, we've got a good recipe of chili right here in Cincinnati. We call it Gold Star Chili or Skyline Chili or Acropolis Chili. And it's kind of like chili, but it's kind of not. It's kind of like syrup.
Another time I was there, I went to this restaurant on the river, like. What restaurant was that?
We got a few of them
on
the river.
We got a number of restaurants on the river. They're popping up like pimples on a teenager.
Yeah. Funny.
So let's go back a little bit. You were the star of the Jeffersons. Before that, you did cameos on the Archie Bunker show.
Right, right. Yeah.
I was gonna say back then it was almost okay to use racial slurs and epithets on TV, but nowadays you don't do that.
No, well, the only reason you did it those days is because we were trying to get people to get over it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's not like words are not supposed to hurt you and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it was okay for then.
Do you think if either Archie Bunker or the Jeffersons came out now, in 1997, do you think it would even fly?
I don't think so. It's hard to say, you know, it was like it's sort of eased in maybe, but it's already been done. Anything that's been done, it's hard to imagine it being, you know, coming back.
Did you see that movie, what was it called, Girl 6 or Girl 8? It was a Spike Lee movie, and he did a takeoff of you and the show The Jeffersons in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Did you catch it? He had a humpback and a big blue jacket, and he walked around like you, and he played the stereotype. It was part George Jefferson, but he was also taking this black stereotype of the black sitcom from the 70s. How do you feel about that? Do you think that you shepherd in some sort of a resurgence of black sitcoms on TV?
Did I usher in what?
Well, do you credit yourself for having started all these TV shows that are around now that feature black actors?
Monster was 20 years ago. You just started this year, right? In the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, Bill Cosby had done shows before me. Good Times was before us.
But yours was bigger. Yours was better. Yours was a little more well-written.
Yeah. Well, we had the same writers as All in the Family. We were spinoff of All in the Family. Well, so was Good Times and Maude and quite a few other shows.
Well, were you the first predominantly black sitcom that was based upscale?
That's what people tell me. See, when I got into it, I wasn't into all that. I'm not into all that race stuff. I'm just going there to do my job as an actor, which I was happy to get, you know?
You just thought it was a funny show, so you liked doing it.
Funny show, makes people laugh, and that's what I'm all about, making people laugh, spreading love. You know, I ain't into all that other stuff.
Well, who'd have thunk you could spread a little love and laughter and also have an impact on society?
Yeah, well, I've always been a type of person who wanted to have friends, but you know, I wasn't sure what the character was going to happen with the character that I portrayed.
Now, what happened with Lionel?
It was two of them. One Lionel was.
Man, you know that really just rocked my world for about 3 years. I just totally there was Lionel, then there was a different Lionel, then there was the old Lionel back, and it was just whoa.
Yeah, well, that happens in a lot of shows. It was just probably noticed more in our show.
Yeah, it just happened on the Roseanne show.
And that happened on, what's that lady's name? Used to play Peter Pan. Sandy Duncan.
Sandy Duncan?
Remember that show? That first was
Valerie Harper was
on
that
show. Yeah, and then they switched to somebody else. And then, like, the kids change on Home Improvement all the time. It happens, you know?
People go on to greener pastures and then they come back to the TV.
You know, on MASH, if an actor wanted out of his contract, they killed him.
Yeah, well, they did that in some other show, too. They did that in, was it All in the Family? No, Good Times, they killed the guy off.
Yeah, John Amos, right?
Yeah, and another time, recently they just did another show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I think they killed his boyfriend off or something.
So if you could have killed off any character in the old Jefferson show, which character would it have been? Would it have been Mr. and Mrs. Willis or Wheezy or
No, I never thought of killing anybody. I didn't think of killing anybody off. That wasn't my idea. That's not my idea of fun.
Did you pretty much enjoy being on the set of the Jeffersons?
Oh, yeah. We were great friends. We were all like sort of, we all came from the same thing, you know, most of us from New York or Philadelphia and that area, Cleveland, all back there. Frank was from Cleveland, Ohio. And we were sort of like from theater, and to get a job like that, steady work, man, on television, was just unbelievable. And we were happy, man. And to go that many years, this was unheard of.
How long was the Jeffersons on?
We ran 11 years.
Wow,
man,
great.
That's a long time.
Yeah, and then next show I did, Amen, was 5 years.
Wow.
But the 11, the Jeffersons, in the beginning, everybody was worried, you know. I said, it'll be on at least 7 years. They said, who says so? I said, I just had a feeling, you know, because it was working so well and the writing was so good. And we were having such a good time. I just couldn't see it ending, you know.
Well, the Jeffersons, wacky neighbors on TV have been around since, Ernie Kovacs and the beginning of TV.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, the wacky neighbors on the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
You know, Bentley.
Did you like walking on that guy's back?
That guy may have been the wackiest of all time.
You like walking up and down him?
No, I didn't particularly like it, you know. I mean, I didn't think it was that much fun. But that was what they called it. It didn't bother him. He didn't mind it, so, you know.
You were a trooper, and you guys were professionals, and you did what the script called for.
Exactly. That's all it is, you know. You know, I'm going there, just going there and do my job, mind my business, and hope it comes out well, you know.
So then you guys, there's a show spun off of your show, right?
Off of the Jeffersons?
Yeah. Didn't Florence get her own show?
Yeah, for a while. For a hot minute.
How many episodes did Florence make?
Hmm?
How many episodes did Florence make?
Of the Jeffersons?
Yeah. No, I mean of her own show.
Oh, so, well, she did 5 years. I forgot about that. What's the name of the show? 227.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we had another show. Was originally the original ER. Was a spinoff from the Jeffersons, but it was a comedy.
Oh, I remember. It was a half-hour sitcom with Elliot Gould.
Yeah, but, you know, couldn't find too many fun things happening in the hospital or emergency room, you know.
I didn't know that was a spinoff of the Jeffersons.
Yeah, because in the pilot, I'm supposed to come to the hospital to meet my daughter or something. I wound up getting shot or stabbed by accident. George, just the character George, and that was it. That was the spinoff.
Wow.
I thought it was a strange spinoff, but hey, you know.
Yeah, well, it didn't work.
Do you ever think the guys in Hollywood, we're talking to Sherman Hemsley, by the way, from the Jeffersons, Amen, now in the Good Behavior, starring in Good Behavior on UPN. Do you ever think that the big shots in Hollywood don't know what in the hell they're doing?
Do I think that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know a lot of them don't. No, they just go like, what's happening? It's like you can't see the forest from the trees. If something's working on one network, well, they think, well, that's what everybody wants to see. So they'll duplicate it, you know, and then they keep having, you know, clones of that particular type of a show.
Why do they do that? I mean, why don't these guys have any vision? They're supposed to be in charge, and they're supposed to be big-shot TV guys.
I know, and they should take the shows out, take it to different people, like they did with our show, this show, Good Behavior. They took it out, and they had, like, invited audiences, and they would have them test the show. Different people, and they'd have little machines that they could, what they liked, what they didn't like, and, you know, stuff like that, but I guess obviously some shows they don't do that; they just trust them.
Well, what set Norman Lear apart from other TV executives? He, you know, created All in the Family and the Jeffersons and Good Time. What made Norman Lear such a good picker of hits?
Did you think he was a visionary, a television visionary?
Yeah, he took chances. Yeah, definitely. Well, Norman's been around forever. He was back there with what's his name, Sid Caesar, and all those guys, and Carl Reiner. He's from the old school with those guys. Mel Brooks and all of them.
So back when guys went by their gut and instinct and what they thought it was funny, they put it on.
Yeah, and then I think the All in the Family thing, like the Archie Bunker was his father, and I think the character was sort of like his dad. And I think Maude was some relative, but that's how he used to pick come up with the characters.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, Sherman, but starting Thursday, it's National Turn Off Your TV Week, and we're wondering, how much TV do you watch? I mean, a lot of guys who are in the biz, you know, they don't watch too much TV.
I watch, like, this Discovery and Learner Channel, all that kind of stuff, the animal things. You know, I guess you get older, you want to get closer to nature. Because I know I'm going to be going to the ground soon one day. No.
Well, that's what Turn Off Your TV Week is all about. We're saying instead of watching nature on TV, why don't you go out to Yosemite National Park or something?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's pretty, where I live, it's pretty, you know, I got little wild animals all around my house and everything. And I don't know, it's just, I can't watch a whole show. I'm just keep flicking channels, you know. Now they got these remote things, man, it's hard to watch one show.
It is.
Funny at the time.
We're finding out that a lot of TV guys, it seems like, people who make their living by TV don't really watch that much TV. Because, I guess, because you're working it all day long, you're kind of sick of it at night.
Yeah, and then, you know all the jokes, and, like, you see this, all the cliches, and you know what's wrong in certain shows, and you don't want to be critical. Instead of sitting down and enjoying it, you got to pick it apart.
You know, Milton Berle said there was only 12 jokes, and they're all just variations on that joke.
That's it.
I guess if you've been in the biz as long, you know, if you've been in two successful sitcoms already, you've probably seen those 12 jokes in all their different guises.
Yeah. Seven situations, and you know, just variations on all those seven. You know, you get a funeral scene, and you'll get how many times can you walk through the front door and slam it and all that stuff, you know? I mean, different ways. I give the guy credit on Seinfeld. He can come in the door so many different times, different ways.
You mean talking about Kramer?
Yeah.
So do you watch a little bit of that show? Are you a big fan of that Thursday night must-see TV situation?
No, not really. I mean, I just think it's hard to get into. I don't know what's around right now that I really wait to see as far as those shows go. Like, I can't think of any. Like I guess I haven't watched too many sitcoms. But I'm always watching, like, I watch Price is Right in the morning. I like that. I like to see a lot of people.
Are you pretty good at it?
Huh?
You usually nail that, Price?
Yeah, well, I just like to see everybody's together. Everybody's happy. Everybody's pulling for each other. Man, it's a lot of love. You know, you don't see that much.
Yeah, that's you know what you see on The Price is Right?
Huh?
You see a lot of young co-eds on The Price is Right. And you'll see a lot of halter tops and a lot of tank tops and a lot
and
of...
You'll see Bob Barker handing out a lot of hugs and kisses,
and you'll
too.
See a lot of well-endowed women on The Price is Right.
If that job's ever open, I'm going to apply for it.
And they usually have a... They have a tendency to get excited
when they win prizes, and so these well-endowed young USC co-eds generally jump up and down a lot.
Have you ever hosted a game show yourself, Sherman Hemsley?
Have I ever? No.
Why not? Well, don't you think that'd be fun?
Yeah, I'd love to.
You gotta give that a try sometime.
I'd love to do that. I like to do children's shows. I did a lot of children's theater when I was back in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, Aesop's Fables, Alice in Wonderland, Tom Thumb, you know, you play mice and caterpillars and all that kind of
stuff. Oh, that's pretty cool. With puppets?
Musical stuff, you know.
And you got puppets in there, too?
No. We were like human puppets.
How about that Barney thing? I mean, do you think that Barney thing is just revolting?
No. Kids like it. As long as he's not killing anybody, I don't see it's revolting.
Well, there are some who say that Barney does commit murder on TV.
Oh, yeah.
He sends chills up my spine, you know. I think of him, and I think of him if he was a teenager. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thanks for calling the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show tonight.
I have a question
for
you. Yes, I have a question.
We're not letting you off the phone now.
No problem.
Your character, George Jefferson, called his wife, not Louise, but Wheezy. Now, who came up with that? Because that became... almost a catchphrase. Was that your doing, or did one of those great writers that you talked about earlier do it?
That was me. Because I knew a girl, when I grew up in Philly, I knew a girl named Louise, used to call her Wheezy. And she was a real nice girl, everybody loved her. And every time she used to come around, I was like, Wheezy, she makes a big appearance. You know, she's just a real, real nice person. And I just came up with that one day.
Well, it seemed to stick, and it seemed to be worked pretty well for you.
Yeah. I had a great time. I love you. I just love what I'm doing. I'm happy to have the opportunity to do it because, like, you know, I mean, like, a lot of my friends that I grew up with back home didn't live to see the age I'm at now. You know, a lot of my friends have been gone, you know. And it's just for where I came from. I figure I've already done more than I ever dreamed I would do, you know.
Well, Sherman, do you know who Bob May is?
Bob May.
No. Bob May, he's a veteran TV actor.
No.
He was the guy inside the robot suit on Lost in Space.
Oh, no.
And we have to talk to him here in a few minutes, so we're going to let you go.
Okay, I'm coming to Cincinnati, May 7th, June 7th.
What's going
June
on?
June 7th.
Guys, huh?
Yeah, what's going on June 7th?
A big Ray Combs special.
Oh, you know, I heard about that.
Yeah.
You were friends with Ray, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. We were buddies, definitely.
Well, he was a game show host, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I bet he liked those little girls in the tank tops getting all excited.
He first started out on Amen, our show Amen. He was did the warm-up for Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the game show.
Family Feud?
Yeah, Family Feud. And then, a
lot of kissing in that one.
Hmm?
A lot of kissing in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, May the 7th, or you said June the 7th?
Somewhere. June 7th, 8th, 9th, I think.
All right, we'll look for you there.
Okay, bros.
Where's it going to be at? Like Go Bananas or someplace like that?
I'm not sure. I know it's going to be a big deal. I don't really know the details until I get there, because the less I know, the better I am, because I get too nervous anticipating, you know?
Tell your people to send me a fax. We'll get it together. We'll promo the bejeebers out of it.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, bro.
All right, Sherman.
Hey, nice talking to you guys now.
And God bless you, too.
God bless you, too. Love you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Lighter.
Love you, Cincinnati.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We'll be back in a couple of seconds.
Man, you have gone Hollywood.
What's up?
God bless you. Love you.
That's how us TV guys talk.
I know. God bless you. Love you, baby.
That's how us TV... See, Rob, when you get into TV like I've gotten into TV and you start to get to know the people in the biz, then you'll start calling them baby and God bless and... You start using the lingo. You start doing...
That's what I'm saying. You've gone Hollywood on me.
Coke spoon and everything. Oh, my God.
That's what I've said. You've gone Hollywood on me. This is Lenny Kravitz's mom singing the song, I think. I think it's Roxy Roker sings the song.
Well, rock on. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that I've made the big time, and I'm calling my friends baby.
This is one of the more rocking theme shows of all time.
There should have been more like it.
Theme song.
In case you just tuned in, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're about to talk to Bob May. Bob May was the robot in Lost in Space, but he was never credited. Bob May was never credited in the show titles, and now we're going to ask him why. Bob May, you there?
Hello, Chris.
How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got Rob sitting here next to me. He's my co-host.
Hello, Rob.
How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, it sounds like you guys do compute.
Yeah, we do.
Now,
we try to.
Check it out. You were the robot in Lost in Space, right?
That's correct.
I hear
my theme song behind you.
Yeah, what were the job qualifications? When you turned in a resume to the big shot TV executives, they were looking for a guy to play a robot. What did your resume say?
Well, I didn't turn in a resume. I was asked to go up and see Mr. Allen at his office, and he asked me if I had worked with him before on Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and I said, yes, I did. And he said, well, we're going to be doing a show called Lost in Space. There's a part of a robot. I don't know what we're going to do with it. Would you like to have the part? And I said, certainly.
So what did you play in, what was it, 20,000 Leagues Below the Sea?
No, it was Voyage to the Bottom of the
Voyage
Sea.
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Shows. Did you play the squid or something?
No, I was one of the sailors.
Now, the role of the robot on Lost in Space evolved, because in the early days, in the black and white days, the robot was generally very stoic and showed very little emotion. It was more computer-like. But there at the end, the robot started taking on a personality, almost being a little rambunctious, almost being a little ornery at times.
Well, I was allowed by the producer, Mr. Allen, to develop the part. And what I did is I took it slow and I just built it up from a mechanical machine to a personality.
So you can't do that nowadays, because nowadays the show's got a hit and they got a score within 6 weeks, or you never hear from them again. You can't take a chance to develop a character. That's why I think a lot of the old shows last longer, have longer staying power some of the new shows.
You're absolutely correct, but we had another element there. We had one of the best casts around.
Yeah, who's in that cast?
Pardon me?
Who was in that cast?
Well, it had June Lockhart.
She looked great in that outer space.
Can I tell you something? June Lockhart is still great, and she is still as lovely as ever. Oh. We're all very dear friends 31 years later. But let me tell you who we had so you can understand why we had the success.
Okay,
besides June, we had Guy Williams, who came from Zorro. We had Mark Goddard, who was on The Detectives with Robert Taylor prior to Lost in Space, and many other things that he did, Johnny Ringo and things of that nature.
Okay.
We had Marta Kristen, who had done a lot of motion pictures and commercials. We had Angela Cartwright, who came from Danny Thomas and The Sound of Music. How do you beat that?
She looked absolutely tremendous in her outfit, too.
Yeah. And then we had my best friend in the show, and we are still the very dearest of friends, Bill Mumy.
Bill Mumy, who went on to star in the fabulous
Babylon
rock
5.
Band Barnes & Barnes.
He went on to Babylon 5.
He was in Barnes & Barnes, the band that did Fishheads, too, wasn't he?
I'm not sure about that, but I'll tell you this. This guy has more talent than 10 or 20 actors in Hollywood, and he's a nice person.
Who played Dr. Smith?
That's the next guy I was going to say, and that was Jonathan Harris.
He was very good, too.
Jonathan Harris, I have to say, made the success for the show.
Because you got to have a foil, and it was great because you guys sometimes had an extraterrestrial foil, like, you know, some kind of weird space cyclops or something.
Oh,
but
sure.
Then you also had weekly just Dr. Smith being so greedy and self-absorbed.
Let me tell you the secret of the robot. The robot was the protector for the Robinson family.
Mm-hmm.
The robot and Will Robinson, played by Bill Mumy, it was like a boy and his dog. And then you had Jonathan Harris, who played Dr. Smith, who was just brilliant. But Dr. Smith and the robot was like a comedy team.
Right.
And that you had the drama, but you had the comedy overtones, and the comedy became more so, and that's because CBS and our sponsors and our fans insisted on it. And I thank Jonathan Harris for giving us a lovely, lovely run. And 31 years later, the fans are still coming out like crazy.
Yeah, the show seems to be going great when you see it now on reruns. It still looks tremendous. We're talking to Bob May, who played the robot in Lost in Space. And I tell you my favorite Lost in Space memory. Somehow, young Will Robinson and maybe Dr. Smith get put into this extra terrestrial, some kind of weirdo, evil space devil jail. So I think, you know,
how'd they wind up there?
They're in jail. Some, I don't know, for being Earthlings or something. Okay. So they're in jail, and they're like sentenced to hard labor for life. So the robot bakes them a cake, which is full of TNT or something like that.
Right.
And then the robot goes to deliver the cake. And something happens, a fracas breaks out, and he throws the cake up in the air, And then when a cake hits the ground, there's a huge explosion. And the robot says, oops, too much yeast.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my favorite episode was actually the last episode we filmed. It was called Junkyard in Space.
Okay.
And the reason for that I loved it so much was a beautiful, touching scene towards the end of the show where the robot is putting himself on a conveyor belt to put go into the blast furnace to give himself up to save the family. And there's this wonderful scene between Will Robinson and the robot. And you can tell that the robot is crying. And you can tell that Will Robinson is sad about the whole thing. But love conquers all, as we all know. And the robot cannot be disintegrated by the blast furnace, so it's all happy times.
I don't think I saw that one. I have to check
it out. It's a very good episode. We had 83 episodes, and they were all great, if you'll excuse the expression, except for the vegetable rebellion.
What was the vegetable rebellion?
That was so silly. We don't even talk about it. Because Jonathan Harris became a vegetable and everything else. But
that was kind of like the Lost in Space version of Trouble with Tribbles, huh?
Yeah, well, that could be. But, I make a lot of public appearances around the world, and I came back
in the robot outfit?
Well, I was over in Australia with the robot outfit, and in Sydney, Australia, and they are so excited about our show. And I do public appearances in these conventions, sci-fi conventions, and I've never seen people that are still so much an avid fan, and it's incredible.
Well, I think the show had had adventure, and it also had humor. Then it also had heart, as you mentioned. And Lost in Space had a lot of those
but
elements.
It didn't worry about giving a message. It was more let's entertain.
Yeah, it wasn't as heavy-handed as Star Trek by
now. Well, Star Trek. I worked for Gene Roddenberry. I did a series called The Lieutenant with Gary Lockwood.
Okay.
Years ago, and Gene Roddenberry was a genius, as Irwin Allen. And, there were two different facets of thinking for shows.
You know, I have a friend who I quite often compare to the robot on Lost in Space.
Anyone I know?
Because...
Me?
No, because she has this uncanny ability to go from being wide awake and alert, just like the robot was.
Right.
And then Dr. Smith would just sneak up and snatch your power pack off, and you'd instantly, fall asleep or be turned off. And that's what my friend can do. It's just like... You know, if you don't mind for a few moments, I'm going to shut down, and then 30 seconds later, she's fast asleep.
Well, you know, you've got a problem there, and I can understand it. But my wife goes to these shows with me sometimes, and the fans will come up to her after I've been speaking, and they'll say, "Well, what's it like being married to a robot?" And she say, "It's fine, but he doesn't do Windows."
Oh, my gosh. Hey, how did you manipulate that suit? How did you get around? Obviously, I guess you had your arms through the armholes.
I was inside the whole thing. When the thing was pulled, it would move, and you'd see the full outfit. It was being pulled by cable. Then there was times when I carried half of it and on a parachute harness, and that weighed 250 pounds.
Mm. Wow.
How's your biceps? I bet you're all built up.
Well, it kept me in pretty good shape.
I guess it did.
Yeah, and we just recently did a show about a year ago. It was a special on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was called The Fantasy World of Irwin Allen, which we honored our producer, who's passed away, and we honored him with a tribute to all the different things that he has accomplished. And when Jonathan Harris and myself and Bill Mumy got together, it was magic all over again.
So
the magic is still there.
Have you always been a big science fiction fan before you were on Lost in Space, and
are you a
Science fiction fan today?
Not really. I enjoyed War of the Worlds, of course. I love the different sci-fi type of motion pictures, but I've been in the entertainment business since 1941.
Wow. 'Cause
I started out on Broadway originally. With my family. My family being, my grandfather was Chick Johnson of the famous comedy team of Olsen and Johnson from Hell's a Poppin'.
Wow.
So I started with them in 1941, and played nightclubs and theaters, and we did live television from New York originally, because that's where live television was right. in those days. And then I came out here and got into the motion picture and television.
Well, Bob May, the robot from Lost in Space, you know, National Turnoff for TV Week starts Thursday, so we're asking all the TV stars we can round up what shows they like nowadays, and do you actually even watch much TV?
Yes. I'm a big fan. And any entertainer that it tells you they're not a fan of somebody or something, they're stupid, because we all are fans. And I love, like, television, I love, my favorite show is ER. I love that show. And I like JAG. And I love, there's several of them that really I enjoy.
Xena on UPN?
Pardon me?
You like Xena?
I've never seen
Xena Warrior Princess.
Got this little skirt and a big sword.
I've got to see that.
That's a very good show.
That would blow a power pack, I think.
Have you ever written an auto? We're talking to Bob May. You played the robot in Lost in Space. Now, have you had a chance to write an autobiography where you have an expose of your whole cast, talk about all the old shows, and then have a couple of wacky stories about things that happened while you were wearing the robot suit?
Well, there was a couple of things that are favorite stories of mine that I always tell, and let me tell you one.
When's
of them.
The book coming out?
No, I don't have a book coming out, but I do have my memories, and I do have a video out on the market called Robot Memories.
Aww. Well, I'm sure that you do have a couple of wacky stories of some zany things that happened while you were in the robot
zany.
Suit.
Very zany, and my best friend, Bill Mumy, was one of the contributors. He and Mark Goddard locked me in the robot for lunch and told the prop guys not to let me out. So everybody left the set. They turned off the lights. Just the work lights were on. And everybody went to lunch. So now, what I'm going to tell you, please, for your listeners, you know, nobody should smoke. I smoke. I do not encourage others to do so. I certainly don't encourage the young people to. But I do. So I'm locked into this robot, so I lit up a cigarette. And the smoke is coming out of the robot. Well, little did I know, Mr. Allen came on the soundstage just to look at something or whatever, check out the set, and he saw smoke coming out of the robot, went running for a fire extinguisher, got the fire extinguisher, started coming over towards me, and I said, "No, Mr. Allen, please, it's only me. It's Bob May. I'm inside. I'm having a cigarette." Well, that was my downfall, because from that moment on, anytime you saw smoke coming out of the robot, he had instructed the special effects guys to hand me a cigar. And that's a true story, fellas.
Well, we're about out of time, Bob. Maybe we could talk to you all night long about...
Well, I could talk to you guys in Cincinnati. And, you know, I played Cincinnati with Olsen and Johnson, and I love your city, and hope someday that I'm able to come back to your city and we can personally have a nice interview together.
Well, if you
and
ever...
I thank you and your listeners for allowing me this time on your network.
Well, thank you very much.
You got it.
Bob May, the robot from Lost in Space on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Thanks a lot. Well, hey, you know, 2 hours goes quick, don't it, Rob?
Yeah, when your people who are supposed to call you actually call.
At the end of the show.
Sherman Helmsley came
Well, this
through.
Has been another edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We'll be back next week, and
we got to figure out if it's Sherman Helmsley or Hemsley.
Real quick.
You probably should have figured it out beforehand.
Yes, real quick. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, sweet lips. How you doing, babe?
Oh, hey, baby. Is this Marge?
Oh, it sure is, sweet lips. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marge. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just cleaning the cobwebs out of my twat. How are you, babe?
Well, let me ask you something, Marge. You're in charge of that big shot, big red machine. Why do they suck so bad this year?
I don't know what it is. I guess they're all fairies.
They got no bullpen, they got no hitting?
They got no balls, they got no hangy-down things. You know, none of them have hair on their scrotums at all, babe.
Why
it's unbelievable. I'm sitting down there looking through the peephole into the locker room, and they're all like little 12-year-old boys, babe. It's horrible. You know, if you listen to my voice, babe, sometimes it breaks and you can tell who I am. But this is kind of like a top 10 list, but not really. You know, while they're showering, you know, sometimes they lather their backs too, babe.
Uh-huh.
But there's no hair there, so it kind of sucks. You know, I thought Dr. Smith, he was something else, babe.
He was.
Oh, he was a looker. But I think he was a fairy.
He probably may have been.
Who was the first fairy ever on TV?
I don't know who.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys. Maybe Otis.
I'm sure one of the Keystone Cops was a fairy. One of the Keystone's cops had to have been a flaming queer.
You think so?
Oh, it must have been.
I noticed they liked fisting.
Oh, yeah.
That's unbelievable, babe.
All right, Marge. Well, thanks for your call.
Hey,
make sure
I get a little more filthy before I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, you want to hear a Red Fox joke?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. I love Red Fox. Okay, this one time, babe, I went to the doctor, and I said, hey, doc, shut up, Rob. You know, I really love Rob, but Chris is a lion weasel. Anyway, I go to my doctor, and I say, hey, doc, I think you got me on the wrong hormones, babe. I think you got me on the wrong hormones. And he says, oh, Marge, I'm a professional, babe. There's no way I got you on the wrong hormones. What makes you think that? I said, hey, doc, look, I got hair growing on my chest. He goes, ooh. He kept saying, ooh. So then he says, how far down your chest does the hair grow, Marge? And I said, all the way down to my dick.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Be told you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain.